Today's episode is brought to you by Numlocked in Overwatch League.
Okay, but I set the building on fire.
It's high noon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to High Noon Podcast, the competitive Overwatch podcast. I am your host, The Blevins. With me, as always, is Deathblow. What's up, buddy?
Not too much. They can DDoS the internet, but they can't DDoS our local recordings. How are you today?
I mean, they definitely could if they just DDoS Discord. Then
I was going to say, we may be using the internet to help record it, but I don't want to. Don't tell them or it'll happen.
Yeah, don't tell them that. I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Doing good. Just jump right into the what did we do last week section.
Let's just jump right in.
Really been pumping out some Twitch content. I've actually been streaming a good amount, doing the Sea of Thieves grind stuff, having some struggles with some technical things related to that. But either way, really, really enjoying the game. And it's streaming again is a mixed bag, but I'm sure it'll get a whole lot better once I get a little bit more established. It's weird. If you just like don't stream for 6 years, you like lose your followers.
I found that multiple times over the years that it's like, oh, you know, I was getting, you know, a couple dozen people watching. Let me just after 18 months, let me just come back and they'll all be, oh, wait, that's not how it works. Okay. Got it.
But I think I streamed like 4 days last week. I put out two videos. I think both were last week, maybe just the one last week, but there's another one in the pipeline coming up. So yeah, things are taking off a little bit there for the SOT content. And I got my logo animation, my like YouTube intro video done. That looks really cool.
It does.
Really happy with that. So yeah, it just feels good to be productive and kind of on the YouTube content grind again. I missed it when I had to drop the VOD reviews for logistical reasons, mainly that they don't unlock them until it's too late for me to put out a video without, you know, not sleeping for an entire day or something, which just isn't going to work. So just happy to be doing that. And links to everything in the off topic in our Discord.
I was going to say, where can people find that if they're listening to this on...
I did put links to, I have my own Discord that I made for when I go live. If you know me at all, you know I really hate self-promotion and stuff like that, so I thought I'd put it in its own
TTV.
Yeah, it's Deathblow TTV on Twitter. I've got a Discord, so you can get links to everything there, and I put it in the off topic of the High Noon Discord. So there, or just Deathblow TTV on Twitch. No, I'm sorry, on Twitter. I post links or just at me there or something.
Yes. Of course, you can find all those links, discord.me/highnoonpodcast. For me, if you're watching this in on YouTube, you can see that I've got a different setup. I've talked about it for years now about how my office has this huge line of like figures and action figures and stuff, and now you can finally see on my mantle all of those things I've collected over the years. So yes, I've shifted my office around entirely. So now I've got the it's not actually adjustable. I can adjust whether I sit or stand. The desk doesn't move. I move.
What's on the monitor behind you? Are we going to get a DMCA strike for copyrighted material playing on the TV back there?
It's not copyrighted. Also, I hope we get DMCA striked because I will I'll delete that strike. We might get DMCA strike for playing a 4 second clip from Office Space. I mean, let's be honest.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, I know.
I believe they stole my audio clip.
They did not credit me. They did not credit me for my audio clip. I was told that I would.
We'll say Melton's name plenty enough times that it'll count as
told
credit.
That I was told that I would receive credit and I would be credited on the podcast, and it did not happen.
I swear this is a show about Overwatch League. We'll get to that.
We're talking about a player.
It's true. That is true, and we'll be talking more about that player in just a bit. But of course, we'll get to the housekeeping. As always, huge shout-outs and thanks to our executive producer, Bungie Bamboo, who has supported us over at patreon.com/highnoonpodcast. You can do the same if you'd like. Really does help out a lot, especially in these trying times as we are creating content for the Overwatch League and you know, the craziness of this season has really been, it's just been crazy. There's really no other way to put it, but you can always go there. And of course, over discord.me/highnoonpodcast, best place to stay in touch with us. Keep up with all of the content going on in the High Noon podcast world. And speaking of which, Blackwatch Report, of course, always going on in their 104th episode, I believe, just came out talking more about contenders, tier 2, tier 3, all that good stuff. So make sure you're following them there. Now, anything else that we want to talk about before we talk about the matches this week, Death? I don't think I forgot anything. Maybe I did.
Nothing on my end. There's not even news this week. There's no signings, no anything like that. Nope. But that being said, they did announce last week, and we mentioned it, that they've extended the deadline for when new signings, yes, and additions can be made.
Yes.
And as the contender season wraps up, I think we're going to see an influx of them over the next couple of weeks. So definitely something to keep an eye out and look forward to, but no concrete signings or roster changes at the moment to discuss.
Yeah. And well, we'll jump into an expansion of that topic as we get into
It's Tournament Talk.
We have matches to talk about this week, Death. What a novel idea, having matches that actually happened and were played. We came back. We're welcomed back to the Overwatch League. And so there is one topic I want to talk about before we get into the actual results of the matches. And that was the special guests that came on for the broadcast. I know a lot of people were big fans of Tezande on the analyst desk. I don't remember what match that was. I didn't catch
Valiant,
that one.
The Valiant match.
The Valiant match. Okay. Yeah. I gotta say, I think, you know, Tezande, for those of you who don't know, that's Chocolate Rain. That guy, you know, the one that you remember from 2007 or whenever that video came out, early YouTube. Tezande, I think, is a really good choice because he actually plays Overwatch. Like, he streams on Twitch, streams Overwatch, like, from time to time.
Yeah.
He's been a big fan. Like, and that's, you know, internet celebrity or pseudo celebrity, whatever you want to call it. He's an influencer that is at least, you know, tangentially related to Overwatch League and has.
Yeah, I think they've had him on before too. I didn't actually see, full disclosure, I didn't see his interview this time, but
yeah,
it was at least placed appropriately in between matches, right, and maps and, you know, right, things like that. So I haven't listened. Even if I don't like the guest, I don't care if they bring on somebody on Watchpoint and, you know, discuss things.
Bring on whoever you want.
That's perfect and the exact time to do it.
Yeah.
On to the second guest for the weekend.
What was the name?
Spice Adams.
Spice Adams, that's right. And you're more familiar with Spice Adams than I am.
No, because
you're at least somewhat more familiar than him. You don't want to admit it, but you are.
I should be, but the first time I've heard his name was in association with the Overwatch League.
Okay.
So I'm really not at all more familiar with him.
Okay.
But he was a former NFL defensive tackle. Maybe relevant. I really don't know and couldn't tell you. But it's just he was brought in, and him and Sideshow and Bren all commentated. I threw some finger quotes around it. Yeah. Podcast viewers. One of the maps for I'm even blanking on what match it was. Oh, it was Vancouver.
It was Valiant versus Toronto. Yeah. Vancouver versus Toronto. Yep.
And it was on the Blizzard World map. And yes, holy, it just listen. I get some people liked it. I saw, you know, four people on Twitter, you know, replying to every single comment ever about how fun it was and how much they enjoyed it. And then everybody else was
bots. Got it.
Comparing it to the DJ Khaled musical performance as far as the levels of awkwardness. And I got to say, I thought this was worse to me. DJ Khaled was just like, he's a legitimate musician and a legitimate performer. And he just didn't fit the crowd. Right. And that was like, not really his fault. It didn't seem like, I don't know, maybe it was like the league's fault. They were a little tone deaf to what their audience would want or respond to, but like, it was also their first try at it. You know what I mean? It was their first.
No.
they didn't know what we would react well to. And, right. and if anything, it was, would have been fine had he not tried to like get the crowd to sing with him and stuff when like it was clear right. nobody knew his music or I don't know. It was yeah. just, that was strange. That, but at least that was isolated and like in halftime. And like this one directly disrupted the ability to understand and watch and do anything with yeah. the broadcast. It was brutal to me.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I think that this was a worse decision in regards to like a fit for what it was supposed to be. Like DJ Khaled, okay, maybe a mismatch, maybe not. Because I think it, you know, we were there and it was a little bit awkward for sure, but there were definitely people who were having fun and enjoying it like a concert, right? It was just, the problem the problem is that it was a huge arena and we were not there for a concert, but he put on a show that as if they were there for him, which it wasn't. So it was a little bit of a mismatch. But at the end of the day, a halftime spot that was meant for a musician was occupied by a musician, right? Or artist, or whatever you want to call DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
An appropriate show was put on at the time.
It's going to take me a minute to get over the shade you just threw at DJ Khaled, and I don't even know that you meant to do it, but it worked for me.
If DJ Khaled wants to come on the show and talk about it, I'll happily have him on the show.
If he wants to talk about the difference between him and a recording artist and a musician, that would be great.
All I know is that Malik won the weekend that night.
Yes. It was worth it. His performance was worth it for Malik's joke. That was
just chef's kiss. It's you know, that might be a top five all time moment. Just period. There's not even other. There's no qualifier there. That's just a top five all time moment.
Pretty great.
This was okay. So there's a couple of things going on here. First, like I'm all for bringing in people who aren't necessarily like diehard Overwatch players or Overwatch League fanatics. Like bring other, like you don't want to just stay in your echo chamber, right? Or your like little circle, right? It's like, we don't want to just, oh, well, we invited a former Overwatch, you know, we invited Emong, who's been a competitive Overwatch player forever. And we brought people who are probably already watching the Overwatch League in. Like, I'm fine. Go take a step out, take a big step out. I'm fine with that. You know, someone who's at least somewhat tangentially related to traditional sports in some way, or at least is related to the entertainment world. Bring that person in. I'm fine. And if they're not a huge Overwatch fan, that's fine. There's been people, and you know, they probably get a speech from Blizzard PR saying, hey, you know, here's a little bit of reference material. And if you know, so that it doesn't look like you're asking a bunch of questions of like, okay, so what the heck is Overwatch? Like,
what you're saying is it would be great if they brought in Al Michaels or Jim Nance or
you're saying names of people Dick who I'm Vitale. Assuming are
these are sport, like big sports commentators, right? I went with Dick Vitale to try to tie in something. I don't know that he's still active in his career or what have you, but just get somebody big that's a cast or a commentator for traditional sports or something. I think that would be really interesting.
Well, the point I'm making is that I don't even think that Spice Adams was a bad fit to do something with the Overwatch League with, but why in the world is he doing this weird tri-cast? Like, I don't even want like an Overwatch League player who's not a good caster to be doing a cast, right? Jake is a great fit because he has that natural ability. And like, but if you brought like Linkser, for instance, I'm just picked a random player. Like,
let's go with Milton.
Let's go with Seb Barton because we're Numlocked. If you brought Numlocked in to commentate a match, like he might not be a good caster, right? Just because you know the game doesn't mean you're a good caster, right? I believe
the Diva stole the pulse bomb.
So you brought in someone who doesn't know Overwatch or like knows very little about it, and like also isn't a caster. Like he was entertaining for sure, but like that level of like, if you brought in a baton twirler, that's not going to add to the cast, right? Like they are entertaining in and of themselves and doing their own thing.
But, I don't know. Like, Didn't Atlanta try that at their homestand?
I digress.
But
it's
no,
a complete mismatch in terms of like the person they brought in and for what they were meant to bring in. If he was in there for watch point and was just like, you know, talking crap or whatever, like that would have been fine and probably fun. But like having him like awkwardly in there for a tri-cast and like
yelling about the he was obsessed with the vending machines that were on Blizzard World. Yeah. Wanted to stop for a drink. It was just he was very disruptive to the actual casters doing. They were trying to like bring him in and get him involved, and they were like tripping over themselves to do it, and all he could talk about was, I can't follow what's going on, it's too crazy. And honestly, God, like putting a voice to some serious concerns and things we've talked about, trying to get mainstream fans into the game, and like it just felt like they were highlighting problems with it, and like it was just all across the board, it was just a really bad, bad experience.
It'd be like if he came in and was just like, League, why are you guys are playing a tournament? This doesn't sound like a league at all. like immediately, like bringing up all these, like,
he threw shade at Yawpools in it. He actually did that.
He goes, because he kept saying,
like, I don't even care. I don't care that they're not allowed to play Echo. Just bring Echo out and turn people into waffles, which I don't get, but I assume there was some reference to whatever he's done with them in the past or it came up. But yeah, I don't want to harp on it because it is what it was, a one map. It wasn't a big deal or anything like that. But it just, from our side, Blizzard, like, let casters cast games, and you can have color and you can have fun segments. That's what the pre-show, that's what the halftime show, that's what that stuff is made for. It's there for that. So like, let's
we need more of that for those times,
and he would have been a great fit there. I think they even featured something about it on a previous week or something. It wasn't the first time Spice Adams has come up on the broadcast, and no problems with it the first time. Won't have any problems with it in the future unless he's there casting. It's very
this
awkward.
This was not his fault at all. He did. Honestly, if I was thrown in that situation, I think he did a great job considering that he was thrown in the middle of a broadcast with like no preparation whatsoever. Like he was entertaining, but that's not the type of entertainment we're looking for in the middle of a match. It was like Blizzard really, like that was a miss. That was a big miss.
Yeah. I get what they're trying to do, but it should have been pretty obvious considering like the meme of his casting was that he had no idea what he was talking about and was like just screaming. And you know what I mean? Like saying goofy, weird stuff while he was doing it before. Maybe that's like, it's not a let's bring him in on the main broadcast kind of a situation.
Yeah. But I digress. I just wanted to bring that up because I think, if our voice is worth anything, maybe that doesn't fall on deaf ears. I don't know. It just seemed really weird. Like I wouldn't, honestly, if I was asked by like Call of Duty for whatever reason to like come in and be a weird tri-cast for their tournament, I would feel really awkward about that. Like if it's like, okay, we're going to throw you in the middle of a casting pair who's known each other for years and casts every single week. Why don't you just come in and just like, you know, just like say a bunch of weird, like goofy stuff. Just mess. Just, you know, I know, very little about, but you know, like the teams and stuff, right? I'm like, I mean, I can read the screen. And like, you know, the format, like, no, not really. I don't know the format. I don't know really anything about Call of Duty other than like, I've played Call of Duty before, which is like, the more I'm thinking about it, the more that's exactly what happened to Spice Adams. So I really do feel for him because he was put in a really awkward situation. And to be completely honest, I think he nailed it. I think he did as good as he could have with the situation he was presented with.
So, it was what I expected for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now we'll talk about the actual matches. And starting off the week, we had Shanghai Dragons win 3-0 versus the London Spitfire. NYXL coming back and showing dominance over the Seoul Dynasty 3-0. Notably, we had Hacksaw Nene as the DPS pair, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Paris Eternal wins 3-2 versus the Boston Uprising. Florida Mayhem 3-1 over Dallas Fuel. LA Gladiators win 3-1 versus the Atlanta Reign. Philadelphia Fusion 3-0 versus the Houston Outlaws. Toronto Defiant in the match we just talked extensively about, but not actually about the match. 1-3-0 versus the Vancouver Titans. And finally, the LA Valiant win 3-0 versus the Washington Justice. Death, I'm seeing a lot of threes and a lot of zeros on this board here. Any particular comments about the week?
Well, I think, and this is something that I've heard brought up a lot when in Discord, we've been having a couple like league versus tournament kind of structure conversations. And I think bad matches are just going to be a little more prevalent this year. The pool of teams that they can play against is shrunk. Right. Like all these, you got the top tier, you know, Asian teams that can't play against the top tier NA teams because of ping issues. For a while, early on in this process, they weren't even playing across the US, which really limited things even further and just the way things were distributed. So I think that's still part of it, for sure. But, you know, overall, it's just kind of. Even some of the matchups that could have been close, right? Like when you look at New York versus Seoul, you know, you've got that one's really hard to pin down, to be perfectly honest with you. But there were plenty here that could have been and had potential to be. There's a couple 3-1s. It was really the main issue to me was that like all of Sunday was kind of.
Right.
Black to watch. And that's really all it boils down to. If you get, you know, the 3-2 was there instead, and then the other day just had the 3-1s, I don't even think we'd be having the conversation.
Right.
But, you know, hey, at the end of the day, it just is what it is. I thought Houston played Philly closer than the scoreboard indicates at a bare minimum. You know, they came out, won the first point on the control map and looked like they were going to give them a fight, and they were competitive throughout, but they got beat handily. And I don't mean to make it out to be more than it was, but that was a watchable match. You were aware when you were watching it that there was a tier difference. But Houston kind of had their moments, put up a fight, and they're still learning the new tank comp, you know, tank duo. They're rolling with hydration, stuff like that. Toronto just is a cut above Vancouver right now. I don't think there's too much to be said about that, especially considering they sure foreplayed. We've been talking about it for a while. Go figure, just play your best player forehead, and all of a sudden you're a better team. And also, I mean, it was Numlock's debut with the team. I thought Cruz was very comfortable, looked as good as he's looked in a while. But yeah, I mean, overall, the weekend wasn't the most exciting, but I think that's part of. It's all baked into like if tournaments mean 2-3 week breaks all the time, you don't come out of breaks playing your best, and you know what I mean. Like you don't get the best results when you come out of a break like that all the time. Some teams take advantage of it and keep their nose to the grindstone and are focused, but others don't, and that kind of creates some of these problems too. You know, it was the first week of a hero pool. Some teams got it a little bit wrong. Some teams didn't. And I think that contributes as well. So, you know, it wasn't as bad as it looked, I don't think. It was really a little bit saved by the Paris versus Boston. But it was just that everything, it was like the good competitive matchups were all on Saturday. And then Sunday was the, you know, the whitewash 3-0 festival. So it was a little rough. But yeah, which matchups you want to look at in particular here, Blaz? Well, I got to ask you about this New York one.
Yeah. The New York one, I think, it's similar to what you mentioned against Philly versus Houston. Like, it was, when you look at the score, okay, it's a 3-0. They stomped him. But this is coming from the diehard NYXL fan. Like, it wasn't really a stomping. It was definitely it was closer than it seemed, because, like, obviously, Seoul, great team right now. New York, I mean, Hacksaw looked really good. Hacksaw, you know, actually, NYXL actually having a player who can reasonably play May really, really made them look a lot better. But that, you know, they were even talking about it on the cast. It's like, this match didn't seem like it was a 3-0, but it was. But which can happen from time to time. Like, I think if you play that match out, you know, 10 times, I think you get a lot of 3-1s. You probably get a soul eventually flipping it at some point. Like, it's not going to be a big percentage of the time, but I think it's like you can flip a coin three times and it's heads every time, right? Like, that's It's not like, oh, well, heads dominated tails this game, you know, this match, right? Like, it's actually just a 50-50 that you win every time. I don't think it's actually a 50-50. I think New York looked very good, but Seoul didn't look bad. I think, you know, it just, like, they didn't.
It was a super defensive match. I mean, when you look at the scoreboard, Hollywood finished 1-0. Hanamura finished 1-0, right? So there was competition. They were brawling out. But I do think New York looked, I thought, decisively better. I mean, it was to me wasn't like, you know, just the score was. I thought it was a little more lopsided than I think it was presented to be. Personally, just by virtue of, like, I thought there was some weird comp choices by Seoul, particularly on Oasis. They were like running Zarya Winston, like it was 2016, and that's the way you want to play dive. And there's some synergy there, and it's like viable in my diamond ranked games, but like at the end of the day, we're talking about Overwatch League, and I don't think that's necessarily the way to go. But that was only one map. Things were much more back to normal comp wise for Seoul after that, and it definitely did, I think, look closer there. But I gotta say, Haxall Nene looked great. We weren't sure. We knew Nene was like back with the team, and he got back to Korea. We weren't sure if he was going to play. We also did see Anamo retain his spot on the starting six.
Mandu.
Bianca's the off tank.
Right.
I really wasn't sure what they were going to do with that particular position, because I didn't imagine there was a chance they were going to bench Ark. And then they did, and they got just as much, if not more, out of Anemo. So if that team wanted to do the same thing again, you just kind of got to, okay, I trust you, right? Like, you just, they kind of earned the right to do it.
But also
if it works, if it didn't work, you'd take the trust away real fast. I think so. Keeping Anemo was great, and I just think they were getting some big plays from Haxall and the Genji, and just from their DPS across the board looked really, really good. So I've been a proponent of SBB in the past, but I don't, there did seem to be something to this, right? When this is the kind of performance you get in a debut against a team that was just in the finals of the tournament before the break, I think you've got to keep rolling with it. So I think New York looked on the up and up. Also helps Jonek got to play the Zenyatta a whole bunch this weekend. That seemed to be pretty meta. So I think that's a big impact there. So all things considered, I thought it was a solid win. I mean, it was one we both took New York here going into it. The inconsistency of Seoul really made that kind of an easy choice, in my opinion. And this is kind of
I thought you took Seoul there. I thought you took Seoul. I mean, we can check.
Yeah,
I'm the technology. For some reason, I thought you did, but I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure. I may have took Seoul 3-2. I don't know. It's what it looks like in there, actually. But,
what it says in the records. But I don't remember.
Sometimes I flip New York games just to get under your skin. To be perfectly honest.
Well, and it works literally every single time. So.
New York looked great. Seoul, I think, still fine, but we're still trying to figure out what the tier list looks like in the Asia region after Shanghai at number one. It's still pretty open there with the changes. So we'll see if there's any more changes to any of these teams coming up. I think New York's kind of got the inside track here for the number two spot right now, with a solid chance, I think, to contend Shanghai.
I mean,
with how good they looked.
The sky's the limit. I can't wait to see that match, Shanghai versus New York again, because, like,
I'm just glad your hopes are up again.
They are. It's
confident. You're there. You're pumped.
It feels like they made a good decision. Like, yes, it helps that they won 3-0 against the team that was in the finals of the last turn of the May Melee, but it also is like, hey, you picked up Haxall, and then you didn't just randomly make him ride the pine. I mean that in both the traditional sense and also, like, you treated him like pine. I'm hoping that, like, there's a huge, you know, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Charlie with the Red Lions, and there's the NYXL coaching staff just says hero pools, and it's like, okay, for this hero pool, we've got these players, and this we got here, and they just have it laid out. And I think Haxall, Pepe Sylvia. Hacksaw is Pepe Sylvia, by the way. That's an episode title if I've ever heard one. But I think like not having to rely on like having an actual plan rather than like, oh, here's a hero pool we're not familiar with. Just throw Libero at it. Cause that like theoretically we thought was going to be good, but turned out it's really not that good. And also we found some glaring weaknesses with, Who Are You, namely the May, and like SBB has performed, but like it's not the dominating performance that we saw in season one. So having these new super high talented players that like Hacksaw can play a very specific, can play a very specific set of heroes extremely well, looked really good with Nene, who was really in a lot. I mean, not at the, you know, he was playing off tank for in season two, but Nene played, was in the game a lot in season two. So this is somewhat of a new look for New York. I liked it a lot, and I'm excited to see what they're going to be doing moving forward. I can't wait to see Shanghai versus New York. I think it's going to be a really great match to watch, though we're not getting it next week.
Yeah, they definitely had seemed to have a little bit of that old season one swagger back to them, and just the way they were playing and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful they're on the up and up again, but we shall see.
Yeah, the other one that I got a chance to really dig into was Toronto versus Vancouver, but again, that's like, that wasn't a super great map. I mean, the first map was pretty good. Like it was back and forth. It was, I believe, 2-1. For Toronto, on Ilios, and like, yes, like Surefour was great, and but like Dalton kind of outperformed Logix, at least on the first map, and I'm blanking on the other Vancouver DPS.
Shockwave.
Yeah, Shockwave actually in the first, I think, maybe even the first two maps of, or the first two points of Ilios outperformed Surefour at the beginning. So like there were some flashes for Vancouver, which, I mean, if you're a Vancouver fan, if any positives you can take out of this is going to be good.
Yeah, their team is better than they look on stage because of their ping problems, right? Because being thrown in the middle of the season. So right, you will see some of that crop up and yeah, like showcase itself.
Flashes of brilliance, which is exciting. But like they're just not a competitive team right now, unfortunately.
Yeah, great to see from the Toronto side of things. I thought Cruz looked really, really good in that match. I think he's been a stabilizing force for Toronto since he got here. And then jokes aside with Milton, a.k.a. Numlocked, a.k.a. Seb Barton, a.k.a. the 4G Express.
A.k.a. You have a video of you 1v1ing him with Mercy.
Not wrong, even a little bit, actually. But yeah, like all things, all jokes aside, with him there, it was there great to see him. Well, only on this show, but
true.
Hey, just don't die to me when I pull out my Mercy pistol if you want to be an Overwatch League player.
One other Numlocked reference is that Phelan, our original third co-host, was at TwitchCon in like 2017, and he saw
we totally broke his signing.
For the Valiant, because we saw a bunch of Immortals players with Numlocked. He sent us a picture with Numlocked sitting with a bunch of Immortals players.
Our buddy, an old third host, is sitting at a table at TwitchCon. Two people sit down in org jackets for a team that just bought an Overwatch League team. Yeah. And then an Overwatch player sits down next to him, and like he just takes out his phone and snaps a picture and goes, "Hey, this might be interesting to you guys." And we're like, they're literally discussing contract details right now. It's the only thing that makes sense.
And we tweeted it out, and we got like a winky face from him, I think, if I recall correctly.
Something
this
like
was
that.
A million years ago. I don't remember, but...
Yeah, and I remember the scrim with him was shortly after that, because I was trolling him the whole scrim. After every map, I'm like, "Valiant effort, guys, GGs." Or like I just kept finding ways to say stuff about Los Angeles or say the word Valiant. It was pretty great.
Jokes on you. He wasn't actually playing for the Los Angeles Valiant. He was just on the team. So all those jokes aside, back to your original point.
He seemed to be a bit of a stabilizing force mm-hmm. for Toronto. I don't recall too many like massive pop-offs or anything like that, but he plays the non-Winston main tanks clearly better than Beast. I think as Winston's probably pretty close to on par with Beast as well. I think there's a pretty big stylistic difference there, but it's been a while since I've really studied Numlocked Winston tape, so we'll have to get back into that when it comes up.
You might have been able to get two Winstons back then.
Right, that's true. I just thought it was a good performance from him. I mean, you've got to see him do it against a team that's better than Vancouver. But, you know, when you're talking about a team that, listen, was in the placement match for the last tournament against them, right? Clearly not leaps and bounds above, and it was close.
3-2.
Yeah, it was very close. You really, as a Toronto fan, we wanted and needed to see this. This is a level up. I mean, to decisively put this team down instead of squeak by them is a significant difference. It's just not a meaningful difference unless it also means they're beating the Washingtons and then they're beating, I'm not going to go too crazy naming the other bottom tier teams and start making people mad.
But if they can play,
the Washington fans know that.
If they can put up maps against, these bottom, mid-bottom teams, like all of a sudden you've got a conversation. I mean, it certainly helps, Death, when you play your star player.
Yes.
And he's actually on the stage playing.
All things considered, all the changes, Cruz, Numlock, Sherfor back, everything.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying that wrong, but the other DPS they signed, ZYYKKK or whatever, I don't know. It's crazy spelling. Yeah, yeah. But I thought he had some decent moments as well. Mm-hmm. All things considered, I just think it's making them into a viable, possibly mid-table team, which will only, I think, help things out, especially when we're looking at a week full of 3-0s, when you start to take some of the teams that have been down at the bottom and turn them into viable competitors, whether they're competing, what they're competing for, it doesn't matter too much in the grand scheme of things. The league will be better if they're competitive within their own matches going forward. And I think we're getting much closer to back to that with Toronto here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they at least looked, we spent some time talking about the match and we're not completely depressed after doing so, which means it's an improvement from previous weeks.
Hey, as soon as they signed Numlock, though, that was locked up because we do love Seb and love the memes. So
yeah, we were going to be happy about just might not have been about their performance, which was this week, though.
The other match here I really wanted to talk about was Paris versus Boston. Mm-hmm. Yes, I actually want to talk about a Boston match. I thought this match being 3-2, this was our close one. This is the one that went to 5 on the week and started off the week, at least for the NA broadcast side of things. So it was a great tone setter, even if the rest of the week didn't quite live up. Mm-hmm. This one was really interesting, and I think we need to start looking at Boston as a team that has some level of viability to them again. Like, I'm going to stop just completely discounting them. I think they've earned that with just competitiveness, even if they're not leading to wins at the moment. I think Punk's come in and made a significant upgrade to the front line, and he's really helping Fusions out. And Fusions is getting better outside of the Reinhardt role when he came in. That was really, I don't think I was wrong at the time, weak on any other main tank role that he had to play, and he's really made improvements there. Specifically, as Orisa looks a lot better to me lately, and I think Punk coming in and playing a pretty solid diva, or not diva, but Sigma is a big part of that. Also, Color Hex had his best match of the season so far this week. I thought he really popped off at times, and I also think Paris really made some questionable choices, like played Nico on hit scan at times. Why is he playing Tracer with Soon on the bench? I just don't understand it. Like, Sparkle was in his debut and he looked pretty good, and like he was doing all right, and he made some big plays. But like, it just wasn't quite enough because they just lacked the Eggsy power that he brings, right? And they just like just really, it seemed awkward to me how they were using Nico. This should really just be Soon and Sparkle until Exy is back. Then it should be Exy and Sparkle full time. I also think Paris is shooting themselves in the foot with the tank swaps, right? If it's not a Ben, if it's not a Reinhardt week, then Ben Best is out. It should be no Smite all the time.
Yeah.
But I also think they should have just played Ben Best on Reinhardt. Like, just play Reinhardt Sigma. Just because everybody else is playing Orisa Sigma doesn't mean you have to. I don't think it needed to be as cut and dry with the tank line. We did see some dive variants, but realistically, it was to me a double shield weekend is kind of how I would bill what the meta was from what I saw. So I don't know. I want to see Paris tighten things up a little bit, play to their strengths like a lot of these other teams have been.
Yeah.
They'll seem to be trying to force themselves to fit the mold of whatever the meta is developing to be for the pool. And I don't think that's the game they should be playing with their tank line the way it is. I think they should keep Hanbin on the Sigma as much as possible because he just slaps at it. And then keep Ben Best on the Reinhardt because it's such a significant drop off whenever they go anywhere else.
Right.
If the pool's not forcing them to do it, then just play it. I don't know. I don't think it had to be a close competitive match, even with how good Boston was going. I really think like Paris allowed them to be in that with some questionable choices. But good on Boston. Like, this was a team that 4 weeks of matches ago wouldn't have been able to capitalize on those mistakes and would have lost 0-3 anyways. Mm-hmm. So it's important to note they're not exactly the meme they were earlier in the year. And I think they're really turning things around a bit.
Yeah, I think...
Unfortunately.
I do think that there's been, you know, a lot of teams have actually, like you said, been starting to correct some of these mistakes or like, hey, just do the level one thing sometimes. Like, you're overthinking this, dude. Keep it simple, stupid. Like, you don't,
especially a matchup against Boston. Like, why are you like, play your game and make the bad team beat you at your game before you switch and try something else?
Yeah, I don't think we're at the point, and especially a team like Paris is not at the point where like garbage time is a reality, like in the same sense that it is in some, like, you need to be winning to do that.
And they've let some slip too, right? Like, Houston was bad when they lost to them.
Right.
So I think there's a little bit of nerves. They don't, I don't think they view any games as gimmies, but
yeah.
At least they should. Playing your best play style though isn't treating it like a garbage time either, right? Like, I think that's a very viable high level strategy. Like, when your opponent's not the best, play what you're best at and see if they can beat you. Like, that to me is just solid strategy, not so much like a garbage time thing. Garbage time is throw the Hail Mary, play the thing you've never shown before, because maybe you'll catch them off
the guys who don't get to play a lot.
Right. Or bench people. Right.
But maybe, I mean, if you're a Paris fan, you obviously want to see them start to turn it around. I mean, they've won, so that's a positive. But let's move on into the matches for next week. Oh, let's break it. Yeah! We will break them down. We'll start with Asia region here. Seoul Dynasty is taking on Guangzhou Charge. Is there a discussion here, Death? I mean, is this pretty cut and dry for Seoul?
No, I think there's definitely a discussion here. Guangzhou was the better seed going into the last tournament. True. They were on fire prior to the tournament. So I think we absolutely have to look at this one as very up in the air. I'm going to find the schedule here for Guangzhou, what the recent results have been. As we look and see. Yeah, they did fall 3-2. I mean, this was 3-2, let's see, the 24th, right? So week 16, that was right before the break. I think it was actually in the tournament, right? Where it was only 3-2. Yes. And that was Seoul at their best, right? Like, playing really, really good, advancing through the tournament. This was the semifinals of the tournament. So this is very, very close to me. Match of the week caliber levels of close, I think. And I really want to see Guangzhou come out and have a beat on the meta game. They didn't play this past week. They got to sit around and watch. The hero pool is the same as it was last week. And I didn't care for Seoul's take on the meta and how they approached it and played it. I don't think two main tanks is the answer when they're playing as many off tanks as they are, but yet here we are and they're still doing it. So this can be close. I mean, Hell, any match with Soul in it, I don't care who the opponent is, Shanghai, anybody. If it was New York again this week, you could make a case that it would be very, very close.
True.
Even though it was just 3-0. So I'm going to take Guangzhou here. I'm going to go 3-1 with it. But I think, yeah, I mean, Seoul can absolutely just get it right. I mean, they've had a week to play. They theoretically know their comps weren't great. They should adapt. But I just don't have immense faith in their coaching staff in any one given week to just get it right at the moment. They're too up and down. Give me
Guangzhou. I agree with you. However, I am going to pick Seoul here. I do think that this is definitely match of the week, especially looking at the rest of the matches this week. There's I think, going to be some stinkers in here. But this one, we're leading off the week very strong. I do think Seoul... I'm picking Seoul with my heart here, but I do think that this is a very important match from... an analyst perspective, because this is like they had the week to learn from getting 3-0'd. Are they actually going to apply that? That's where the real question is.
This is a great test case for the 2-week hero pools and whether or not 2 weeks is a viable number. The team that played last week versus the team that didn't, they're really close in I think theoretical power levels. Yeah. So how does this work out? I think it's almost a shame that one of the teams is Seoul, who I would never be surprised at a 3-0 loss or a 3-0 win versus anybody by this team this year. So it's going to be a little tough to pull too much from it, but I think how Seoul changes their comps and their approach from a week to week is very telling. And then listen, Guangzhou gets to come out first match of the week. Nobody, you know what I mean? Like,
nobody seen them.
They don't get to see anybody else do anything. Right. Like, it's just we've been sitting on this. This is our plan. What do you got?
Right.
And they're just gonna go. So they could really come out and surprise Seoul. They could really come out and get surprised by Seoul. Yeah. It could go absolutely any direction. I think this is gonna be a really interesting one.
All right. With that said, I found the coin from the week. So we'll go heads, which will be the one. I don't remember which one I used to do, but heads is the one. Tails is the back. We'll give heads to Guangzhou here. That is going to be tails. So tails never failed for Seoul. The coin agrees with me.
You know I like Guangzhou. How dare you?
Moving on, we've got London Spitfire versus Chengdu Hunters. What is your take on this one, Death?
This one's going to be a little bit of a clown fiesta, I think.
When is it not a clown fiesta with Chengdu?
I was going to say anything with Chengdu is in that realm. London is a very difficult team to pin down because they seem so uncompetitive against the top tier teams. Like, they just don't seem to really stack up there. But at the same time, when they do go against somebody that's a little lower, you can kind of see it, right? Like, there's definitely plenty of talent there. But at the moment, at least, I don't think they've earned much benefit of the doubt or anything like that. You know, it's really hard to judge, right? Because we've watched them get beat by Shanghai in their last two outings. One of them was 3-2. They did take it to 5 against Shanghai in the tournament, but they got 3-0'd by Hangzhou before that, you know, 3-0'd by Shanghai. They've played Shanghai a lot recently, and that might make them make me think they're a lot worse than they are. They did 3-0 Chengdu recently. By recently, I mean at the beginning of May. So over a month ago. Can clearly go either direction. I just don't have a ton of faith in London across the board yet. They're still in a very prove-it scenario, since so many of their games that they've played since coming back have been against an opponent they just weren't going to take down, I don't think. So, I guess this is a placement match, is really what I'm trying to say. We're going to learn a lot about London and where they really rank up. But for right now, I'm a little more confident in Chengdu, so I'll go 3-2 Chengdu.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. I could definitely see it flipping. But again, like, I think London has proven themselves up to a point, but they've not proven themselves to be a legitimate, you know, viable force in this region yet. So we'll see. It's always going to be a clown fiesta with Chengdu, but I'm going to agree with you here. Next up, we've got Hangzhou Spark versus NYXL. I mean, let's be honest, we know my thoughts here on this match. But in all seriousness, like, I'm really hoping we see NY push it out again. Let's see Haxel Nene. Let's flex on him. I don't want to see, like, it, man. If we come, same hero pool. If we come out this week and we see SBB Libero, I might burn all of my NYXL gear. I'm kidding. Maybe I won't. But if they just stay the course, keep doing what worked last week, I think it should be an easy 5-0 for NY Death. What do you think?
I'm really, really anxious to see what Architect does to the Hangzhou Spark. This should be his debut for that team. If we'd seen them active last week and they looked really good and they beat somebody up and, you know, the Architect popped off, I could see wanting to call this one really, really close. I didn't see that last week. It's not their fault. They didn't play, but I did see that from New York. So I'm going to lean New York. I'll call it 3-1 at the moment, but there is some clear upset potential. We saw what Architect did for San Francisco when he joined that team. We know he can have a transformative effect on a roster when he joins it. And Hangzhou has plenty of talent here. They've been underperforming to me. We've been talking about it since the preseason, how they're pretty well hurt by the lack of Crystal on this roster, who's technically still on the roster, I think. Yeah, he sure is. But Godsby and Architect is a duo that at least strong in name power, right? And then the rest just has to work out. And I think they weren't far off. So there's a very serious chance here for an upset, but you've got to go with, at least in the predictions game, you've got to go with what you've seen and have some, you know, more confidence in. And that's just New York, right? They're, yeah. We talked about them like they've been struggling. They're 11-3.
Yeah.
They really haven't been struggling. They've just not looked as good as we've, you know, hoped they would, I guess is really the way to put it.
They usually be 13-1 or 12-2 at this point in the season, not right. A measly 11-3
scrubs. Just uninstall. Pack it in, Jonak, you're done. Leaning New York, but really, really anxious and excited to see the Architect debut.
Yeah. Next up, we'll talk about Architect's alma mater, the San Francisco Shock versus Paris Eternal. I feel like there's not as much of as much analysis on this one. It's an easy San Francisco here.
Yeah, there's potential things can start to gel and work out for Paris, but the hero pool's the same. I don't have any reason to expect them to take my advice and play the Reinhardt Sigma instead of the right. Orisa Sigma. Their main tank position is just significantly weaker. They want to do what San Francisco does with their main tank, which is like, Ben Best equals super and plays the Reinhardt, and then No Smite is Smurf and plays the other stuff. And it's just neither of the tanks are anywhere near as good at their job as the SF tanks are. Yeah. And we all know about the rest of the roster, the firepower of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Those positions are looking really good for Paris. They've got promising rookies all over the place, but this is an established, powerhouse of a team here in San Francisco. Right. So
we're not going to go with that. Upset.
I'll call it 3-1. I'll be generous. Paris can take a map here.
Yeah, I think they can. And we've seen San Francisco underperform at certain spots, but again, you don't predict that in these pickups.
It just happens sometimes.
Yep. Next up, Atlanta Reign versus Toronto Defiant. Can our boys in the North have a repeat performance and actually put up a game against a real team like the Atlanta Reign?
Not only can they, Blevins, I'm going to, as somebody with no affiliation to this team whatsoever, guarantee the win this weekend against the Atlanta Reign. They did 3-0 us back in the tournament. Okay. Sure4 is a difference maker, and Absolutely. He's coming in and he's at least going to make this competitive, because Atlanta, let's be perfectly honest, have been in shambles. Yep. If it's not been a very poor performing team, an opponent, they've lost to them. I'm talking, they lost to the Valiant. Let's see. That's about it as far as the mid-table. But most of their opponents have either been bottom or, they lost to Florida in the tournament. They lost to the Gladiators last week.
Yep.
You know, it was looking a little bit before that, and it doesn't bear out. But Atlanta refuses to play Oster. They're married to Baby Bay, and Baby Bay is a very streaky player. He's good enough when he's hot to beat anybody and to be part of a, you know, a team that puts a surprise performance up. But he's also just as often a hindrance, a problem for this roster right now. I don't understand. This is the exact same thing as Shurfor not playing for Toronto with Atlanta, right? Mm-hmm. It's just the rest of the team around the huge, massive question mark in the DPS column is a little bit better. So they've weathered the storm better than Toronto has. I'm giving Toronto this win unless Oster suits up. I'll say it's 3-2. It's going to be close.
Yeah.
But I just can't wrap my head around or fathom what Atlanta's thinking or doing, benching somebody that we were talking about, not as a serious contender for, but as like a candidate for MVP with how they were performing last year, to just
at least
bench him and have him not show up entirely is lunacy. And until they show that basic level of, I don't know, it doesn't have to be incompetence. It doesn't have to be a question. It could just be like the guy's like sick or can't, you know, whatever, but like, we don't know that. So we just have to sit here completely puzzled and question everything. I'm going to say, I'm going out on a limb. I'm predicting an upset. I know it's an upset. You can save your tweets, but I'll pick Toronto here because I just, to outline how questionable the decision-making of Atlanta is. I don't even think the Gladiators are like a super strong team at the moment.
Right.
And they handled Atlanta this past week. So.
Yeah, I mean, a Shurfor versus a Oster-less Atlanta, I don't even think it's that much of an upset. I think that's just
Shurfor versus Baby Bay. Who's winning that fight? Yeah. I know who I'm picking every time.
Yeah. Every single time. Yeah, I'll agree with you. I'll go with Toronto here, and only partially because I'm a homer, but also somewhat reasonable. Okay, next up, we've got LA Gladiators versus your boys in green, the Houston Outlaws.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to lean Gladiators here a little bit, I think. It's really tough to say. You know, you look at the hero pools and so what is Dante's been really, really good lately, and what are two of his best heroes, Echo and Sombra, and they're out of the pool, and that hurts them significantly. So I think otherwise, you know, Mecco's best on D.Va by a long shot. He's shown some ability to play the other things. And then Brig being gone, again, hurts Dante because this third best is like Tracer, right? Like Tracer, Sombra, Echo are the things he's been popping off on lately. You want to put the armor packs on the Tracer and let him go nuts. I personally hope they play more dive again. Go with the Doomfist and the Tracer anyways. You can still play it without armor packs. A lot of teams did a lot this weekend. But it's going to take some comp changes, some switches, I think, to get them in a spot where they're even pulling close to even with the Gladiators, right? It's kind of, it takes some mental gymnastics to get there. So you've got to lean Gladiators, but I think it's closer on paper than like Atlanta versus Toronto, who I just picked the upset for. I'm not going to pick the upset in both of them, but yeah, I'll go at Gladiators here 3-2. But Houston's starting to get it together and look a little bit better with hydration on the main tank. So I think there's some hope here for an upset.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I'm gonna go with LA Gladiators as well. I don't want to do the double upset, but I do think, Gladiators have just looked not lackluster. They've just like, well, maybe lackluster is the word, because it's just like
they have,
not bad, just not like super shiny or great.
They seem like a team that's got a lot going for them and then just some major problems. You know, it's like, it's not even always the same problem every week, but just Birdwing has been like reformed this year. I think he's looked really, really strong, really good, but his partner on the other side just hasn't been great. We know how I feel about their backline, but even them, I where's Shez been? He used to be such a pop-off playmaker doing huge things, and I just don't quite feel like I've seen that from him this year very much. And so something's not clicking, where it's just, it's, something seems to be off with this team. Again, they're not far off from their past selves or what they can be or anything like that. They're not in turmoil. But I just, I expected them to be a little better than this after the way they started. I was very iffy going into the year with their roster, but they came out, they looked like they were still going to be pretty strong, and I got some expectations, and then I just don't know that they've been improving and getting better with the rest of the league. So we'll see. This could be a close one.
Yeah, they do seem like they've kind of stagnated a bit, which is not a good place to be, because we've seen a lot of these teams making big strides forward. So even Boston,
I think one flex DPS addition away from maybe things turning around for him. I don't know. We'll have to see. Well, I know a lot of people wanted Hexall to go there.
Yeah, well, so. I'm glad that he didn't. I'll take him all day. next up,
you imagine him and Becco together, though. Oh man, we'll never know.
Don't mention that filthy traitor's name on my podcast. All right, we've got Dallas Fuel versus Vancouver Titans. I'm not picking the Titans to win anytime soon. I'll just preface this with that.
No, Dallas's DPS continues to pop off and you know, be phenomenal carries, even when it doesn't work out for them. Like, they lost to Florida, but I thought the DPS still looked pretty good. They go as far as the DPS takes them, and they don't got to take them very far this week. So, I'll go 3-0 here for Dallas, who I do think is still a mid-table team. I know a lot of people are trying to prop them up to be more than that, but mid-table's significantly better than 20th place.
Yes, that is true. All right, let's move on to the second day of Asia region matches. We've got Guangzhou Charge versus the Hangzhou Spark. Death, who do you have in this one?
Again, Guangzhou's been pretty consistent recently, and we haven't seen them since the break, so you never know what state they're going to be in when they come back. We'll see both of these teams play the night before. If you're taking pick'ems very seriously, maybe you definitely see those results and adjust your pick based off of those. But without any more information than that, you know, I'm just going to pick Guangzhou as the more reliable, steady as she goes team at the moment. But Architect coming in is a game changer and could very easily flip it. So,
yeah, definitely.
Guangzhou, let's take 3-2 because it is probably pretty close.
100% variable on the previous day's performances. But yeah, I think the default pick is going to be Guangzhou over Hangzhou. So, all right, next up we have the Chengdu Hunters versus the Shanghai Dragons, and I think this one is less close.
3-0 Chengdu.
You think? Yeah.
No.
I was going to say Shanghai is. I think this matchup is probably going to be close to what a real life match between a dragon and a panda would be. In that the dragon would massacre that thing, not close.
If it was a Kung Fu panda.
Is it voiced by Jack Black or?
Yes. And because of that, 3-1 Shanghai is my prediction.
Yeah, we'll give him the one.
Jack Black wins at least one game.
All right. Next up, we've got NYXL versus London Spitfire. I think less ironically, I'm saying 5-0 for NYXL than I was before.
Yeah, I think this night at least, the fact that I've been falling asleep around 5 a.m. on the weekends is going to be pretty beneficial because I should have a solid chance to watch all of Guangzhou versus Hangzhou live. And then I don't know that I'll need to catch up on the other two matches. So maybe I could just sleep through those.
Yeah.
New York should cruise through this one.
Speaking of cruising, we've got Boston Uprising versus Philadelphia Fusion. Maybe fusing? Nope, that doesn't really work. I mean, it's a word, but it doesn't mean the same thing. Got to be an easy Philly win here, right?
Philston Fusion. Never. Anyways.
Nope. Some things you just got to put down.
I always want to just combine words together and find that's for whatever reason same. Fascinates me. We'll have to not do that one here. Clearly wasn't going to work. Figured that out fast. Neither will the Boston Uprising game plan work, and they'll figure that out pretty fast. Yeah, Philly's cruising along. That Boston is looking up, but not up enough to do anything here. Yeah, they should get trounced. I'm curious to see who Philly fields. Like, this could be Chips of Territory again. This could be game territory. And I'm part of me it. Wants to see him do it because Boston might be competent enough to shut that down.
Right.
And it would be a fun meme if you know, Chips a loss to Boston or something like that. Could have some fun with that.
Sign and play gritty, you cowards, is all I have to say. But I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, easy Philly here, probably 3-0. Moving on, the penultimate match of the week. Or no, is it penultimate? I don't know. The second to last match of the weekend, LA Valiant versus Florida Mayhem. Can we count Florida as a real team still, Death?
Yeah, they're both real teams. I mean, they've not put up a result that makes you question whether or not they're a real team yet. I thought they looked okay this past weekend. Their opponent was, let's see, Dallas. Yeah, Dallas's DPS, I thought, played poor for them. And sometimes that's because the opposing team did it to you, and sometimes it's not. Right. I think for the time being, we have to just kind of give Florida the credit. They've been stringing together enough wins in a row now that you really got to give it to them. The Valiant have shown some strong finishes as well, including this past weekend with the win over Washington, but that is not really the toughest of challenges. So Florida's just I'm more confident in them. They've been doing it for a little bit longer than the Valiant have. The Valiant are still
in the tournament.
Pretty streaky, and yeah, they did it in the clutch. They've done it through their placement games through May and everything like that. So really starting to earn their spot up near the top five or so teams in the league at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm not locking them in there, but they're gonna have to start losing in order for us to really have much reason to question it anymore very soon.
This is another stepping stone towards that top five for Florida, for sure.
A loss here would be pretty detrimental to the argument, I'll say that.
Yeah, much. I think, for sure. This like, it doesn't mean they're a bad team, especially if it's close, but like, is a top five team losing to LA Valiant?
Yeah, we're talking about, are they serious contenders, not are they a viable, good quality Overwatch League team. That they've proven.
Right.
And Valiant are maybe very close to proving that, but not quite there yet.
So, I mean, honestly, I think this is probably second match of the week. Like, I think this is going to be a good one.
Should be a very good one.
But I'm definitely leaning towards Florida as well. All right, last match of the week I don't think is going to be as good, so maybe we can cut off the weekend at LA versus Florida. But we've got Washington Justice versus San Francisco Shock. We've got perennial bottom of the barrel versus perennial top of the barrel. I think it's pretty cut and dry, Death.
Yeah, Washington, I don't think, has replaced their head coach yet. Maybe I'm sure there's somebody doing the job in an interim capacity, but like, they're in flux, and even when they were at full force, weren't good, and San Francisco's still defending champs, still San Francisco, still rolling along.
Yep.
Don't seem to be able to make mistakes, even when I don't like their roster decisions. They just work out fine, and the player, you know what I mean? It is what it is. That's what happens when you've got a really, really good coach, and the team comes in confident and prepared every single week. I think that's the case with San Francisco. Yep. Easy, easy win here. I'll call this one a 5-0.
Yeah, I tend to agree. All right, Death, that is the end of the matches for the week. Is there anything else that we wanted to talk about before we get going here?
No, that's it for me. Check out my streams.
Yes. Guys, make sure you head over to Deathblow TTV on Twitter and Twitch, right? I think so.
Yep. Yeah. It's all the same.
Make sure, throw DB a follow if you haven't already. Make sure you're going to discord.me/highnoonpodcast. And you can, of course, support us over at patreon.com/highnoonpodcast. Like our executive producer, Bungie Bamboo. Again, thank you everyone who is a patron as well. And that's going to be it. Don't forget to join the community. Again, I say it a million times because it is the best place to go. Discord.me/highnoonpodcast or High Noon Podcast everywhere, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, all of that stuff. But again, thank you everyone for watching and listening. But for Deathblow, I'm the Blevins. And remember, it's High Noon. Rip. Of course, when I switch the outputs, the sound doesn't play anymore. Well, this is me singing the song. Ding.